We have a couple of questions. We have Angela. Is there anything we can do at home to improve listening? I think my 8-year-old likely has auditory processing disorder. We are homeschooling now and he has improved a lot, but I'd love to help him even more.
Yes, there are things which can be done. First of all, control the sound environment. The enemy of the, one of the great enemy of someone with auditory processing disorder or this kind of sound listening difficulty is competing noise, which means competing noise. But I will generalize the concept of noise into any kind of distractors. Okay, which means that the noise can be visual. The noise can be if you can create an environment which is calm, safe. The child is going to have it. Even if he had some auditory processing issue, he's going to have an easier time getting the information. Quality of sound. We sometimes forget that a sound has a very wide spectrum, even the sound of language. Mm-hmm. Very often, new technology are very efficient, but at the cost of quality, which means that the spectrum of sound is cut in order to transmit more sound. For example, MP3 technology, it's fantastic, except that it cut the sound. What does it do? It reduces the spectrum of your listening. And that has several drawbacks. If you cut too much the high frequency, okay, and that is very often what happens, you still have enough to hear language. But remember the whole, well, even when you use your cell phone, you chat, and then someone tell you, and Mr. Tchaikovsky has something what did you say? Tchaikovsky, okay, like, and the word Tchaikovsky is going to take, T, like, et cetera, et cetera. Because you do not really hear well every sound. You use your brain to put together the information to permit you to follow a conversation. But as soon as it becomes, from a sound point of view, technical, or even from a conceptual point of view, technical, your listening cannot follow. Your listening cannot send enough information in the brain for the brain to be operational, which means the quality of sound, and particularly when we are talking about working at distance, it is very important and to be sure that the quality of the sound is good.
And, you brought up something really important there. I mean, all of us, as we go through our day with all the distractions and devices and things, our system is kind of filling in the gaps. But if your auditory system is already compromised, or as Paul said, as soon as you get into really technical or difficult information, the demand gets greater. And so, when I think about all of the kids that have struggled with distance learning, and you think, well, the quality of sound often is not as good. There are more distractors. And so if a child already has a compromised auditory system, that's just going to make it so much more stressful and difficult.
I often hear fathers in particular. I like to work with fathers. They say, how can you say he has a listening problem? I mean, we can talk about baseball for hours. What? One, you are the father. He knows your voice, which means that he's already conditioned to receiving your voice. It's not a teacher's voice, and the teacher has a replacement and whatever. It's your voice. He knows it. First, baseball, not only he knows he loves it, but he knows all the rules. You keep talking about baseball. Well, the problem is that the teacher at home, at school is not talking about baseball all day long. If he's doing a good job as a teacher, he's sending new and different information, different word, different concept, different way of presenting phrases and sentences. This is a bigger, much bigger, much bigger challenge for the brain, requiring a much better ability to receive the information with clarity and precision, which is a better listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. We have some parents, this is really resonating for them. This is explaining so much for me and my family. Karen saying, this is great information as I think about my son who likes to remain under the radar with his auditory processing disorder. And Susan asking, do you need to have an auditory processing disorder evaluation for listening training?
Not necessarily. We have our own test, which unfortunately we cannot practice anymore. But we have what we call a listening checklist. And when people complete a questionnaire, a personal history questionnaire, we have a series of questions which permit us to have an idea not only if there is a listening issue, but is the issue more auditory visual, body or vestibular body, body visual, more expressive, more receptive? All those are, is it more a protection issue, which means I hear too much? Mm-hmm. Or is it more a processing issue? I cannot get the information I want. We have developed a questionnaire which gives us a profile, and based on this profile, we can design a program. Mm-hmm. Right? Because every child is different, every child is going to need a certain program. Now, the general outline of our program is very standard in the sense that we reproduce the step of development, starting with receptive. We have to be a listener before we become a speaker. We have to be a speaker before we become a reader, with a few exceptions. And that is what the listening training is about.
Mm-hmm. She's asking for advice. Basically, she has an 11-year-old daughter. And she is saying, you know, she's telling her daughter she's going to come out to California and do an intensive with us. And she was explaining this process to her daughter, and her daughter was saying, I don't want to change. I don't want to be that smart. Mom is asking for some advice on how to talk to her daughter, how to kind of, you know, get her excited about this process. It is, you know, it is going to be hard in the sense that the brain is going to change. It is some training, but you kept talking about keeping it fun. And so any advice for this mom for, you know, beginning this process with her daughter when, you know, she's right at that age when kids are very self-conscious, that preteen age, very self-conscious, and might not understand what it's going to be like to have improvements without losing a sense of themselves?
Well, it's a very good point, and I think I talked about that earlier. The first reaction we have is stay safe, you know. And as soon as we are talking about change, when I have learned to live who I am, to live the way I am, is difficult. There is not an easy answer. One of the way we have been able to reach out young adolescent, preteens, is having them to talk with another one who have gone through the process and who is basically, I think, is going to say, I haven't changed. It's just that I can do whatever I want. That is a difference. I think perhaps the word change for some people who come from the background I'm coming from, as something scary. Are you going to change my dreams? No, you are not going to change any dream. You are going to be yourself. You know those things that you like to do? Some things that I'm doing all the time and I'm teaching people who are working with me to do all the time is forget about school when in the first interview or let's try to see, and we already have in our questionnaire, we are asking people to tell what is the hobbies of the child. And we are trying to focus on trying to find a link between their hobbies and the program that they are going to do. For example, I don't know this young lady, but is she interested in sports? Is she interested in acting? Is she interested in, she probably has some interest in some kind of job that she project herself, or she has some image of people she would like to emulate, that she would like to become like. Well, start with that. Start with who you are and what you want to be, and see whatever we are going to do with you as a way to make you access it more easily. Forget about school. Forget about school. Yes, true. School is what permits you to reach that, give you the paper with a signature on it, the passport that you can do it officially in the society in which you live. But for now, forget about it. Go for your dream. What do you dream? What is the star you follow? That is what, whatever the therapy you are going to take, and then talk about program, is going to make that happen more easily.
And I love that term.
Ease.
Mm-hmm. Ease. Yes. I love that term. You know, so often people think in terms of, oh, I'm going to help you do this better. Nobody wants to be told they need to do something better.
It's easier.
We all want things to be easier.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Yes.